in many ways that are invisible to those around us, we are called upon to do brave things.
From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm Alliance President Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch, broadcasting this week from New York City.
And how we respond in those moments, the ones hidden from you, are perhaps the most significant of all.
The Right Reverend Marianne Buddy is the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, D.C. She is a fitting author for a book titled How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith. This week, she's back on our show to share some of the lessons in this inspiring and challenging book.
You know, the Jewish community is not monolithic, nor is the Christian community, nor is the Muslim community. I mean, I think we need to understand that there are nuances within each of these faiths, and a lot of work needs to be put in to find common ground internally and externally.
Everyone at Interfaith Alliance is delighted to have Darcy Hirsch join us as Senior Director of Policy and Advocacy. With our priority issues regularly surfacing at the Supreme Court, on Capitol Hill, and in states across the nation, Darcy has a substantial portfolio, and we will look at some of her priorities on this week's State of Belief Radio. You can hear State of Belief on the radio and listen at Apple Podcasts and all other podcast platforms. Every week, I am in conversation with some of the most impactful and fascinating civic and religious leaders across the nation. Please subscribe to it today. State of Belief Radio is made possible in great part by generous support of our listeners. If you made a donation, thank you for helping get these conversations heard by more people who need them. If you haven't pitched in yet, information on how you can help keep this show on the air is available at stateofbelief.com. And you can find out more about the work of Interfaith Alliance and join us at interfaithalliance.org. And now to my first guest. Bishop Marianne Buddy of Washington, D.C. is the author of a new book titled How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith. Speaking truth to power when called to do so, and bolstered by a history of social justice activism, Bishop Buddy hinted at the contents of this book when she was on the show just a few months ago, and is keeping her promise to be back with us as this book sees the light of day. Bishop Buddy, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be with you.
And congratulations. This is a huge accomplishment. I spent last night just poring over this book, and it's, I just really appreciate, I appreciate it when people who we see in a big pulpit being all, you know, oh, look at, she's so powerful, she's so amazing. And then someone, you know, opens up and says, actually, you know, what you're seeing is not what's real. What you're seeing is the culmination of a lot of experiences and choices and moments, some of which were great and some of which actually I failed at. And recognizing that being brave is not about just like, you know, some sort of magical, mythical way of you were just born, but actually it's a lot about learning. And I just think I really want to say how much I appreciated the honesty, the vulnerability, which I think is actually maybe part of the lesson you're trying to teach.
Thank you for all of that, Paul. And I would say that's one of the primary messages I wanted to convey, that courage is learned when any of us needs to step out beyond what we know, what we can see, what we've done before. And that's a moment of vulnerability. And by definition, we're not going to be necessarily good at whatever it is we're being called to on the first try, or that we're going to be successful, or we're going to get it right, whatever that means. But we're going to learn as we go. And the learning to be brave and learning from the examples of other people's lives, learning from the examples that are handed down to us in our sacred traditions, and paying attention to those moments, large and small, that help us become the people we are called to be. And that was the other purpose I had, or a desire I had, was to broaden the definition of what courage looks like, or how we understand it. so that we can appreciate how often in life, in many ways that are invisible to those around us, we are called upon to do brave things. And how we respond in those moments are, even the ones hidden from you, are perhaps the most significant of all.
Mm. The book starts with a moment where everybody kind of looked to you and said, oh, isn't she brave? Isn't she courageous? And that was after then President Trump used force to walk across Lafayette Square and hold the Bible upside down and kind of claim religion, using an Episcopal church, a very famous St. John's Episcopal Church, almost as a prop, as a backdrop, and that you responded in a way that many people felt very grateful for and said, oh, you know, she knew what to do. She knew how to do it. Look at her. That's what we mean when we're talking profiles in courage kind of thing.
That to me was an example of those times in life when we don't have time to think. We are responding in the moment. And those moments come. They don't come very often, but when they do, we have to rely on whatever it is we have at that moment, right? So that was like a very distinctive kind of moment. And I contrasted it, as you said, with other moments, and one of them being the times in life when we are called to leave one place and go another, and to leave what is familiar and move to someplace unfamiliar. And I chose the example that you alluded to, which is from my adolescence, in part because when I think of courage, when I think of what it means to be brave, in my own life story, that's the story I always go back to. That's the archetypal moment for me, the one upon which everything else is in some way compared because of how strongly I felt it at the time. And how aware I was of what I was doing at a time when the people around me and most of the authority figures of my life at the time that mattered to me, and indeed the community I cherished the most, would have supported me in not doing what I felt called to do, which was briefly to leave a community that I had developed in high school that was like my sacred community, to leave a church community that had nurtured me and introduced me to faith, because my home life had completely disintegrated. And I really had only one parent to return to, which was a mother I had left when I was a young child. And I'll spare all the details, but the main pieces that were so pivotal to me was that I was listening to a voice from within that was summoning me, really, to make this choice that I didn't particularly want to make. And I knew it. And it meant gently saying no to those well-meaning people around me who wanted to keep me safe and comfortable in the life I had known. And I look back on that moment because so many things of my life now were put in motion because of that move. But when you're talking with the panel, there were three or four of us who were gathered on Zoom during the pre-vaccine, really terrifying days of the pandemic. And Bruce Feiler had published his book on his thesis that we have these enormous life transitions that come at us in explosive ways. He calls them a life quake. And he asked all of us on the panel after the end of our conversation to discuss one such moment in our life. So thinking about, it's always the first one that comes to mind. So I shared what I shared with you a little bit, feeling kind of silly as I did because I was with all these really big dignitaries. But then one by one, an imam shared his story of traveling to the United States with his father, who was a very esteemed Muslim leader, because he was ill and he traveled to the United States to receive treatment, and how his father was treated with such respect and care by a Jewish doctor and a Christian doctor, people that this imam, now a man, said he had been taught never to trust and in some ways to hate. And that changed his worldview and informed his path. So stories like that. And
This is Imam Majid, who, of course, now is one of the major interfaith figures in America. Like, literally, exactly. If he's one. If you had five of any people, you would lift up him as one of them.
And it was because of that. Yeah, it was because of that experience as a teenager, watching and dedicating his life to that moment. So moments like that. So I think personally, and one of the reasons why coming of age stories are so important in literature and in film is because so many of those decisive, self-defining moments do come when we're young.
We need to take a quick break, but I'll talk more with Bishop Marian Budde in just a few minutes. And later, Interfaith Alliance Senior Director of Policy and Advocacy, Darcy Hirsch. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.